Alright, good morning. Let's turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Today we're going to be finishing up this chapter as we've been diligently coming through verse by verse and really seeing the theme of really fighting against bad doctrine. And I actually want to start just by way of review, just looking at the first couple of verses of this chapter, remind us of really the overall context of what we're dealing with as we're going to be concluding today in verse 16 as we talk about sound doctrine, sound speech. And so if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, again in verse 1 and 2 it says this, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And so I want to remind you that what Paul is talking about and who he is talking about are actually believers in Christ that are doing the departing. He's not talking about lost people because guess what? They're lost. They're already going according to the course of this world, according to their flesh, and that. So that's not who he's talking about. That's not the context of what's going on. He's talking about those who have legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they start out in dealing with sound doctrine and in the Word of God, but then they depart from that and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And as we came through chapter 4, we even noticed that even taking doctrine that is legit doctrine, I mean, it's truth, but it's in a different context. And they take that out of context, it becomes a doctrine of a devil. It's something that is out of context. For example, one that I can talk about easily is just dealing with tithing. That's something that was given to the Jews, dealing with the Old Testament. That's not something that was in the doctrine as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Paul never talked about tithing at all or talking about the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. That is a Saturday, not a Sunday. And again, something that was doctrine to the Jews. That is a legit doctrine and truth for the Jews, the nation of Israel, but that is not something that is doctrine for us in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter what day that we decide to worship on. Obviously, traditionally, a lot of us, we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, because that is when the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. But again, the Sabbath is not doctrine to us. And so we came through and talked about a number of those things and really seeing the importance of what Paul is telling Timothy and what he needs to do and being able to remind those of his people that he was pastoring of what they need to be doing and coming through and being, again, sound in the faith. And last week we looked at verses 14 and 15 and really hit heavy about dealing with how God has a purpose for our lives and that he's given us a gift of the grace of God, and not taking that grace and using it in vain, but actually being used of God to be able to minister to others. And we talked about how we need to meditate upon these things. And now we come down to verse 16. In verse 16 it says this, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And so we're going to come through and we're going to talk about three different aspects there and dealing with taking heed to the doctrine, to continue in doctrine and speaking doctrine. And really there's a lot that we need to really see here in that verse. But before we actually start getting into this, I want you to turn over to our introductory verse, which is in Titus. Just interesting enough that in our scripture reading that we just had, Titus is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we concluded that. And let's see what it says in Titus, again, about what we need to be doing. Again, this is a qualification of a pastor, something that we have already seen as we came through 1 Timothy chapter 3, but I want to remind you of what it says here, because it really does give a summary of what we're going to be looking at today. In Titus chapter 1, down in verse 9, the last thing it says in a qualification of a bishop or an elder or a pastor, it says this, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Let me read that again. Holding fast the faithful word. Holding on to it. Because there's too many people that do not do that. And it says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Notice that word exhort is something that we looked at a couple of weeks ago and how we need to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. There are going to be gainsayers out there. A gainsayer is somebody who speaks ill or speaks against or have bad doctrine according, against the Word of God. And it's going to be needed to be able to hold on to sound doctrine so that you're able by sound speech are to exhort those who are gainsayers, who are teaching that which is wrong, because there is a lot of it out there, and unfortunately, it's too many Christians that have gone away from the truth of sound doctrine or the faith, and they are led away by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So, here's what we need to do. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then let's jump back into 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. It's so important for us to understand having sound doctrine in our lives. I say it often, and it's so unfortunately prevalent today, where there's, in Christianity, people do not hold on to sound doctrine. Doctrine's not important. They really kind of focus on just thinking about salvation, if they're doing that even. And, you know, just thinking about love God and love one another, and that's pretty much it. We don't want to really dig into the Word of God to study it, to understand sound doctrine, because they think it's going to be divisive in a sense, and they don't want to scare people off and so forth. They want to try to just make people comfortable and be in a church and so on. We can talk about this and pray about it for the rest of the day. But the reality of what we need to do today is we want to focus on you and your Word. We want to be people that we do study your word, understand doctrine, because we're not going to be able to really live our lives being successful in your eyes, living after godliness like you've laid out in your word here. We're not going to be able to do that without understanding sound doctrine. So Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts, our minds, allow our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your word right now. Lord, help us to see what we need and to be able to be encouraged to want to study the word. To have sound doctrine, to have sound speech, because really, if we're going to be able to minister to the saints and minister to people this year as our vision is, then we have got to understand sound doctrine. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go through this. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and again, verse 16, really the first phrase there says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." All right, and again, it's interesting that it says to the doctrine, all right, in the sense of just dealing with what is our doctrine, all right? Again, it's like an introduction. It's not a matter of what God says to the nation of Israel or what Jesus Christ is even saying to the nation of Israel during his earthly ministry. That's the doctrine that obviously we can learn from it. Remember, all the Word of God is for us, but not all the Word of God is to us. And so when we're looking at what Paul is saying here, we need to know exactly the doctrine that is given to us in the body of Christ, which we know here is, again, what God has communicated through the Apostle Paul. He's the Apostle of the Gentiles, and the books that he writes to us are Romans through Philemon. That is the doctrine that we have for us. And so Paul is telling Timothy, you know, you need to make sure that you take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Make sure you're guarding yourself and what you're doing, because Timothy, you're not like immune to being led away by false doctrine, by false, a teaching that is out there. All right, and just because again that you've accepted Christ, and again Paul's the one that really discipled him and grew him up in the Word of God, it doesn't mean that he is again immune from being led astray, and that is true for us today. It doesn't matter how long that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've been really diligent in the study of the Word of God and application of the Word of God and been discipled and so forth and all that around here, you too can be led astray if you cease to hold on to these things. And so you see where Paul again is encouraging Timothy to make sure that you are doing these things, especially since he is a leader and he's leading others. I mean, if he is not holding on to sound doctrine, what's going to happen with the people that are following, in a sense, or in his church? Got to hold on to sound doctrine. Now, again, taking heed, that is something that is a warning. Make sure you listen to what's going on here. Make sure you understand what's going on. Take heed. I want to actually give a... I go back to the Old Testament, actually, and look at a couple of references where we see where God is saying the same thing to the nation of Israel. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, first and foremost. Deuteronomy chapter 4, I'm going to look at verses 8 through 10. Really today, and just really focus on just a real comprehensive study of some of these things as we conclude with this chapter. So in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Again, you probably heard me say this before. The book of Deuteronomy is where really the last words of the of Moses. He's getting ready to pass off the scene, and Joshua is taking over and is going to be taking the nation of Israel into the promised land after 40 years of being in the wilderness. The name Deuteronomy, or the word, means repetition of the law. And literally that's what is happening. Moses has given the law again because it's a new generation that comes up. It's not the same generation that came out of Egypt because of their disobedience and unwilling to trust God to go into the promised land. They die off in the wilderness, and there's a new generation that comes up that's getting ready to go in. So they need to understand the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking it up in verse 8, it says this: "And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day?" In other words, what other nation has all this? Well, there is none, all right? God picks the nation of Israel. It's the apple of his eye. It's again, everything that he's doing because of the starting of the nation, a relationship that he had with Abraham. And he goes on in verse 9, it says this: "Only take heed to thyself." And he's telling them as a nation, where Paul was telling Timothy as an individual to take heed to himself. We see God is telling the nation, make sure you take heed. "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons, generation after generation, continue to teach them." Why? Verse 10. "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb," which is the same as Mount Sinai, "when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." So you see this focus of, again, you need to take heed to yourself. Make sure that you are continuing to adhere to the truth of the Word of God. And not only that, make sure you teach your sons and your sons' sons, each and every generation. Because if you don't do that, guess what's going to happen? You forget, guess what? You're going to go and just be like the rest of the world and going into all kinds of sin and so forth. And unfortunately, that is what happens with the nation of Israel. After they get into the promised land, you get into the book of Judges, what do? They did not teach the next generation. They did not adhere. They didn't take heed themselves to the truth of the Word of God that's laid out. And what happened? They ended up going into sin. It's no different for us today if we don't take heed to ourselves to make sure that we're taking heed to the Word of God. I want you to, still in Deuteronomy, I want you to turn over to chapter 11. We'll see another warning here again about them needing to take heed. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 down in verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11 in verse 16 says this: "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." I mean, literally, that is 1 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, God is telling them, make sure you take heed to yourself that your heart is not deceived. You see, if you're not grounded in sound doctrine, you are so susceptible to being deceived. If you don't know what the Word of God says, any kind of charlatan, false prophet, teacher, whatever, can come along and just deceive you. And you think it sounds good, seems like it makes sense, but in actuality, it is absolutely wrong. It's an error. You are susceptible to deception if you're not grounded in sound doctrine and making sure you're taking heed to it. I want to give you another Old Testament reference in dealing with the book of Joshua. Right after the book of Deuteronomy, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 22, and we're going to look down in verse 5. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5. The context, I mean, they've conquered the land. Joshua, again, God working through him to do that. There's still much work that still needed to be done, but the initial coming into the land and conquering the enemies was taken care of. But you see this, again, admonition again. In Joshua 22 and verse 5, it says this: "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What an incredible verse. And it starts off not only just taking heed, but diligent heed. You really are striving and making sure that you are doing what it says here, again, to keep the commandments and the law, but also to go on to love God, to walk with him with all your heart, with all your soul, making sure you're doing all the things that he's laid out for us. Again, this is not a doctrine to us, but we can learn from this inspirationally, because really, it's the same thing that God is telling us, that we need to make sure that we take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine that he's laid out for us. And the commandments that are given to us from Romans through Philemon, it's not like we pick and choose which ones we want to do. No, we need to make sure that we're following all of them. Well, it's kind of hard to follow something if you don't know something. Alright? And so that means if I'm going to take heed to myself, and it goes right into taking heed to doctrine, then I've got to make sure that I'm diligently understanding and reading and studying the things of the Word of God given to us. That goes back to our message again 2 weeks ago. Are you in attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to what? Doctrine. Alright? Something that people, again, unfortunately in Christianity, they do not want to focus on today, and it's exactly what we need to be doing. Now let's turn over to our doctrine and see some things that we need to take heed to. In doing this, first I want you to stop at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And this is something that is, again, can apply to all of us, but especially for those who are in leadership and pastoring a church. All right, as we really are seeing from our base text today, what Timothy is supposed to do, not only to take heed for himself, but also we're going to see for others. But notice what it says to the leadership and to the pastors. This is Paul talking, again, interesting enough, to the leaders at Ephesus. This is Acts chapter 20. And again, that's the same city that what? Timothy is a pastor in. Is in the city of Ephesus. And it is a lot of spiritual warfare that's going on in that city. I mean, absolutely incredible. When you look at that, that's why it's not an accident in the book of Ephesians. It talks about making sure you put on the whole armor of God and how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the spiritual wickedness in high places and so forth. It's like it was not an easy place to be able to minister and stand on sound doctrine, but that's exactly what needs to take place. Now, if you're in Acts chapter 20, look down in verse 28. Again, this is admonition that Paul has given to the leaders of Ephesus before he's going on to Jerusalem, and we know that he would be put into prison for the first time. It says this, Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Now, before we move on here, because we're going to read the next couple of verses or so, again, in verse 28, what do you see? It's really the same thing. Paul tells Timothy to take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine, and we're going to see as we continue on in 1 Timothy 4:16 that he, you know, make sure that you're communicating these things. You see it right here in verse 28. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock." Right? Again, which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers to feed the church of God. That is the primary responsibility for the leadership of the church, is making sure that they take heed to themselves to do what? And to the flock, to feed the church of God. Now, there's no way a pastor or a leader of a church can feed the flock or feed the church of God if they're not being fed themselves. And it's unfortunately that we have pastors that they really don't do the study like they need to. They're not in attendance to the reading of the Word of God. They're not in attendance to get to exhortation. They're not in attendance to doctrine. What they do, they search the internet to get their messages or whatever. They go to the commentary to get their messages. They don't have a personal walk with the Lord in the Word of God, studying out the Scriptures to feed themselves. I dare say you would notice if I even took a week off of my own personal studying the Word of God and came back and tried to preach a message that I really didn't study, I think you would probably know a difference. You'd probably see a difference. Hopefully you would. But something different there with Charles. Right? What I'm teaching should be the overflow of how what God has already fed me. And that is something that it's just lacking, all right? I've seen it, and I've seen it with churches that we have occasion to visit where Trish and I are on vacation, or just see on the internet or YouTube or something like that, and seeing people preaching, and it's just like there's absolutely next to nothing in the Word of God that's actually being preached. And I'm just talking basically even using a verse, using references. Their quote-unquote preaching is just out of the philosophy or what they think or something like that. It's not actually the study of the Word of God. And here's what happens. Notice what Paul says. You're still in Acts chapter 20. We read verse 28. I want you to notice what it says in verse 29. He says this, "For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Paul knows that as soon as he's departing, that's what was going to take place. That's why it's so important for him. You know, you need to take heed to yourself and to the flock, and make sure you're feeding them. Because after I leave, here's what's going to happen. Grievous wolves are going to come in, not sparing the flock. Even of your own selves, there's going to be people that arise that are just going to deceive people, going to take people away. Happens all too often. That's why it's so important, the things that we've been talking about and seeing just in this chapter alone this year. We have got to make sure that we apply it to our lives, that we take heed to it, because there's no way you're going to be able to really biblically, doctrinally, minister to somebody else if you're not equipping yourself in the Word of God to do so. I mean, you're not going to be able to properly minister to somebody that's going through all kinds of problems if you don't know doctrinally what does the Word of God say for us today. I want you to also note something. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm spending a lot of time on this and dealing with taking heed. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See something else that we need to take heed. It all relates to the doctrine that's laid out for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in a context, again, of the Corinthians that were carnal, they were babes in Christ, they weren't growing because, again, of their just all their schisms and divisions that were going on, and just, again, Paul says that they're walking as men instead of actually walking in the Spirit and their new nature that they have in Christ. But he says this down in verse 10. Alright? I really probably should read all the way through 15, but we don't have the time to do that right now. But just, I want you to notice verse 10. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says this, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me," that gift of grace we talked about last week, it says, "as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon." Now, again, what he is saying there, the foundation, of course, is Christ. He explains that actually in the next verse, in verse 11. No other foundation can be laid than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I mean, he laid the foundation in the church in the city of Corinth there. And another built thereupon. He would be referring to Apollos, that continued on and being able to grow that church and edify them. But notice what he says in the last phrase of verse 10. Again, it says, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." It's a personal responsibility. Yeah, church leadership and everything is there to help raise you up, to edify you, to exhort you, and so forth and so on. That's what I try to do every Sunday. But you need to take heed how you're building upon that foundation of Christ. And if we were to continue on, it talks about the three things that we should be building, which is gold, silver, precious stones, which are eternal works. You're focused on eternity. You're focused on your relationship with the Lord. You're focused on being able to share that relationship. You're focused on being able to invest the truth of the Word of God in other people to minister. Or there's wood, hay, and stubble. That's being a Christian that's focused on the flesh and continuing to feed the flesh and the things of the world, not the things of God. I didn't know if this would come up, but this is a perfect place to lay out something that happened on Friday. Early Friday morning, we had one of our workers in a casino that he collapsed having a seizure on the floor. And I literally saw opposites in dealing with people in dealing with him.
There was one lady that when I got there, because I was in my office when this call came out, ran out there, and there was a lady that was down by the guy's side. It was a 23-year-old guy, casino employee. And she was down there, just had him in the recovery position, was talking to him, comforting him. I mean, he was out and everything like that. And then on the other side, literally on the other side of where his body was this guy playing on a slot machine, had no care, no concern about what was going on. You think if somebody's laid out on the ground not knowing what's going on, you think maybe you get up and see what's going on, at least clear the area, that sort of thing. No, he's still playing his slot machine. He's concerned about his money. At one point, I looked at him, and he even said, I don't care if you're looking at me. And I tried to explain who I was and said, hey, your money is going to be fine. He did not care. One caring, one not caring. One ministering, and the other one just focused on himself. Really poignant picture of, are we going to minister, have works of gold, silver, precious stone, taking heed to what God wants to do, or are we going to be focused on wood, hay, and stubble, just focus on ourselves? Take heed in what you're building on your foundation of Christ, Christian. What are you building? How are you building it? That leads into the last thing I want to talk to you about in dealing with just taking heed. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 4 real quick. Colossians chapter 4. We've seen this reference before at the beginning of the year and talking about, again, being addicted to ministry. A guy named Archippus in verse 17. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Coming down to the very end of this letter, you can imagine they're reading this letter out loud into the church that was in Colossae. Then all of a sudden this comes up. Colossians 4, verse 17, it says this, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It's not just Archippus that's got a ministry in the Lord. Like I talked about last week, every one of us, God has a purpose. He has good works that He wants us to be able to walk in, as we've seen in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. We all have a ministry. Are we taking heed to it? Questions that only you can answer. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. We've seen where we need to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. We need to continue in them. Notice again what it says in verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. You need to continue. Again, that was a problem as we again remind ourselves of the beginning of this chapter, how there's people that are being what? Led astray. They're being deceived by, again, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're falling away. Need to continue. I mean, Timothy is doing a good job, but you notice that Paul is saying, hey, you need to make sure you continue. Don't stop. Continue in them. What's the them? The doctrine. Again, the thing that plagues Christianity is people don't want to deal with doctrine anymore because, oh, that's too decided. I might offend somebody. We want to get people in the church. We want to make sure that we're able to tell them about the love of Jesus Christ, and we want them to get saved and everything. So we'll focus in on that, but let's not talk about doctrine. We're not going to really study the truth of the Word of God. And in reality, a church and a pastor that does that is doing a disservice immensely to themselves and to the congregation. It sounds good. Oh, the love of God. True love of God doesn't happen without the Word of God. It's not just a feeling or an emotion or anything like that. It's about speaking the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. If I love you guys, I'm going to speak and share the truth with you. I'm not going to just have some nice flowery words or anything like that. You guys know me by now. I don't have anything like that. You're not going to get any nice poetry or anything from me. I don't know how to do that. What I do know how to do is study the Word, and I continue to learn and grow in that, and give you what the Word of God says. That's actual love. Here's the thing. Like any parents, you know it. Raising children. If you really love your child,
You're going to discipline them. You're going to give them boundaries. You're going to teach them and show them what is right and what is wrong. All right? You're going to show them how to have a relationship with God. All right? That's what love is. Not love is just letting them do whatever they want to do. Oh, they'll figure it out themselves. They need to find their own way. You know what that really is? That's laziness on a parent's part that they will actually to do what they need to do to raise their kids. And if there's anything that is a soapbox issue to me these days in the last number of years, is people don't want to do the hard work to do what is right. That's the problem in every, I would say probably, career, job out there, every situation that's going on that is planet Earth, that people don't want to do the hard work to do the right thing. True love is working to sacrifice, something that I'll talk about in my next podcast coming up this week. Walking in love. It's about a sacrifice. It's about doing the work. Continue in them. Continue in the doctrine. I want you to go back to the book of Acts again, but this time chapter 14. We have seen this recently, so really this is just a review. In Acts chapter 14, I want you to look down verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 14, this is during the midst of Paul and Barnabas, their first missionary journey. Actually, this was my reading in my Bible reading this morning. I read chapter 13 and chapter 14, a lot of great things in these chapters. But I want you to notice again in verse 21 and 22. This is when Barnabas and Paul, they're on their way back to Antioch, and they're passing through the churches that they've already previously ministered to, and it says this in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Continue in the faith. Again, it's not continuing to be able to have their salvation. They accept the Christ as Lord and Savior. They're heaven bound. All right? So it's not like they're having to continue to work for their salvation. I mean, you can't work for it. It's given by grace. But once you have accepted Christ, God wants you to continue to grow in that faith. And that's what literally that they're exhorting them, encouraging them to do. Continue in the faith. And he tells them, you're going to go through some tribulations. You hear from me all the time as we're preaching through the Word of God. When we talk about ministry, talking about growing in your walk with the Lord, you're going to go through tribulation, you're going to go through some hard times, you're going to go through some suffering. Right? And so, but what do we need to do? We need to continue in those things. Continue. I'll give you another reference real quick. Go to Colossians again, but this time in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 21. Read down through verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says this, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled," just with our salvation. How? Verse 22. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." That's the goal. Not just your salvation, verse 21, but to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you being unblameable and unreprovable, or actually present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, that the Lord will have nothing to say against you. But that's the condition. And that's where verse 23 comes in. That can happen for you, Christian. Verse 23, "if ye continue in the faith." How? "Being grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." If you want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday, when the Lord comes back for his church, the body of Christ, to see he's going to be part of his, that's going to be married to him, to be the bride, You want to be holy, unreprovable, unblameable before Him, then we have to do what? Continue in the faith. And not be moved away. Again, it ties right back into what we've been seeing in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then in the latter times, some are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's happening? They're not continuing in the faith. Since we're close by, just look part of the page back in Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 4. Actually, not 4, but chapter 3. Sorry about that. Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to look down in verse 17 and 18 and 19. Philippians chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 17. It says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." In other words, we're follow us as we're following the Lord. But notice what he says in verse 18 and 19. "For many walk." Again, he's talking about Christians. He's not talking about lost people. Get that in your mind. "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Verse 19 is the same thing as 1 Corinthians 3, that their work on that foundation that they've laid is wood, hay, and stubble that would be destroyed by the fire. Their work is not gold, silver, precious stones that will abide the fire. And he says that there are many. Not few, many. I want you to keep that in mind. We've got to continue. Again, remember, God's not going to put us through something that we're not able to handle. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. With that, he is faithful, and with that, he will provide a way for us to escape. Understand that. You need to understand that. Because as you're living for the Lord, and I'm asking you, I want you to get more involved in ministry. I want you to grow in your relationship. Wherever it is that you're at now, I want you by the end of 2023, Lord willing, and that you can look back from this point on and that you can literally see that you have grown. You have done more to take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine to be able to minister the truth of the Word of God. I'm doing everything to try to encourage you to grow because that's what I want. I want to grow more. I don't want to be satisfied in where I am at in my relationship with the Lord. I want to know Him more. I want to know Him better. And that means I've got to be grounded in the truth and the sound doctrine of the Word of God. I've got to continue in them. Folks, a lot of times, you know, I give examples out of my life, and I use karate a lot. And the reason why I got into karate was because I saw it as a really good physical picture of a spiritual, as far as my walk with the Lord. And there's a lot of times, you know, that it was tough in the last number of years I've been doing this. All right, it took about 4.5 years to go from white belt to, actually longer than that, but I'm going to put it all together. But anyhow, when I was training consistently, when we were in Canada, I should say it took about 4 years, 4.5 years to go from, at that point I was a yellow belt when I started up there, to get to my first degree black belt. And now I'm sitting here, I've been a sixth degree black belt for going on, it's been 6 years now that I've been at that rank. All right, and so through it all, there's been some tough times. I have battled some knee surgeries, 7 altogether now. I have battled a hip replacement. Just little things that things get torn or pulled and things like that. But you know what? Got to continue. Even if I could barely move and barely do something, I still did it. Just to have that mindset of I'm going to do what I can. I want to continue on. Why? Because for me, it's a good picture of what I need to be doing spiritually. No matter the trial, no matter the tribulation, no matter the suffering, no matter the attacks, no matter the persecution, no matter what the world says, no matter what Christianity says and stuff like that, I want to continue in what is laid out in the truth of the Word of God. Christianity and its dogma, whatever, may change, and it does, but the Word of God stays the same. That's what I want to continue in. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to get finishing up here in verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." When I look at this, it reminds me of being on the airplane. You know, when you're taxiing and getting ready to take off, the flight attendant comes on and they've got their little props and everything and giving you all the safety and all this other stuff. And then they talk about, you know, if something happens where the cabin pressure drops and the oxygen mask comes down, here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you put yours on first and then assist somebody by you. You need to take care of yourself, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to help somebody else beside you. All right? So you do that. You put the mask on yourself, and then you do something else. And thank the Lord, I've never been on a flight that has actually happened. I've been on a couple of flights, like wondering, this is it. Everything was fine. That sort of thing. So I've never been on a flight like that. But that's what it says. You take care. You help. Get yourself taken care of first. Get breathing, and then you can help somebody else out. To be honest with you, side note.
If the plane is going to crash, I hope whatever is actually coming out of that is not oxygen. It's something to put me asleep so I don't feel what's going to get ready to happen. That's me personally. It's like that.
Put me to sleep. I don't. Anyhow. Okay, back to the message. All right, anyhow, it's like that's what you do. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. You know, it says this, again, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and then thy hear thee. Well, save you from what? He's not talking about saving from hell. He's already saved. A lot of times we go to that and we see the word saved in the Bible and that's all we think about in Christianity today. Well, that means they're not going to hell. What's the Timothy's saved. He's heading back. So what's Paul talking about being saved from what?
What's been the context of this chapter?
Know this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's people that are going to be deceived. But Timothy, if you do these things, if you're taking heed to these things, to the doctrine, continuing in doctrine, here's what's going to happen. You're going to save thyself from being deceived, and you're also going to save those that hear you.
Take care of yourself. Get that mask on first. It's the mask of doctrine that's going to keep you going. And then put it on somebody else. But here's the thing. They've got to be willing to hear you.
Right? And you notice, I mean, we've been seeing this a lot even in this chapter. If you go back to verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You go down to verse 11 of the same chapter, and he says this, these things command and teach. Paul's been telling Timothy, this is what you need to be doing all the way through here. We even talk about again from verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, that's the, again, the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God, to doctrine. He's been telling them over and over again, and finally in verse 16, you know, take heed to yourself. The doctrine. Continue in them. Why? Because if you do these things, you're going to be saving yourself from deception, and you're going to be saving those that hear you. Title of this message, Sound Doctrine, Sound Speech. You're not going to have sound speech if you don't have sound doctrine. You're not going to be able to biblically minister to somebody if you don't have sound doctrine. I want you to turn over to Titus real quick. We started there. In the introductory verse, and I want you to actually go to chapter 2 this time. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. It says this, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I mean, just right there, tied up for you in a bow. Sound doctrine, sound speech. Well, how are you going to speak things that are sound without the doctrine? All right? But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In the context, right at the end of verse 10, are people, guess what? That are being deceived. That are gainsayers. That's the context at the end of chapter 1. So the contrast in chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. There's a lot of deception that's out there today. But what do we need to do? Make sure that a speech is sound. And the only way that's going to happen is by sound doctrine. You jump down to verse 7 and 8 of the same chapter of Titus. It says this, Titus 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound doctrine, sound speech. But Timothy is told by Paul that the only way that those are going to be saved from deception are the ones that are going to hear you. Unfortunately, we have today, we're in Christianity. I'm not even dealing with the lost world. I'm not dealing with evangelism, reaching people that are lost to get saved. I'm talking about Christianity, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, legitimate. I'm not talking about people involved in some Christian denomination because they grew up that way or whatever the case is. No, I'm talking about people that have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are heaven bound. That's who we're talking about because that's what the Word of God is talking about. Just look over a page back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll end here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Unfortunately, there's people, again, heaven-bound believers in Christ that do not want to hear doctrine. They don't want to hear truth. They want some little devotion. They want some little nice little story, nice little fable. They don't want to hear the truth. Understanding our accountability before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 4. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and, guess what, doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's the time that we are living in. People just want to turn away their ears from the truth. And when you do that, they don't want sound doctrine. Guess what's going to happen? They're turned unto fables. Little stories. They're deceived by seducing spirits and doctrines and devils. They're not saved from that because why? They refuse to hear sound doctrine. Folks, I'm encouraging you to be able to minister the Word of God to people this year. And there's going to be some people that in their tragedies of their lives, and they come to you and they share what's going on, that you're going to lay out sound doctrine and how to deal with that circumstance, and they're just going to be like, well, it's too hard. They want to hear it. Give me something else. Or I just want to complain. I really don't want an answer. I really don't want to deal with it. I can give you examples of that this year for me. There's people that have listened and tried to implement and apply the Word of God. And then there's been people that have not. Maybe they'll change. Hopefully they will. A lot of times people just don't want to continue. They don't want to continue doing the truth because it's hard work. I mentioned karate as an example. I mentioned the stat before. Out of the people who start martial arts, you know what percentage of them actually make it to black belt? Again, it takes about 4.5 years. You know what the percentage is? 2%. Out of every 100 people that start martial arts, only 2 will attain black belt. You've heard of Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts. You probably don't know any of the other ranks before Eagle. You know what the percentage is of people that become an Eagle Scout? 5-6%. Sports. NCAA. Just dealing with those athletes. You know what the percentage of them that actually make it to professionals? 2%. Basketball being one of the most popular, you know how many people in basketball actually make it to professional? 0.03%. Makes me wonder at the judgment seat of Christ, when we have all those who legitimately accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how many people will actually be ruling and reigning for eternity? If the stats of worldly things I just mentioned is any indication, let's just say it's 2%. People talk about being part of the 1% as far as wealth is concerned. Will you be part of the 2%?
is going to rule and reign with Christ. And we're not taking heed to the doctrine. Taking heed to yourself, taking heed to the doctrine, and continuing it in them, there's no way we will be. And I'm talking about me too. I'm not sitting here thinking that I got this all together, I'm preaching and everything like that, so it's just an automatic, I can just kind of ease on into the judgment seat of Christ and everything's going to be fine. No. Just like Paul was telling Timothy who was doing that which is right, Timothy, make sure you take heed. You can fall into this category too. The other 98%. Take heed. Continue. You're going to save yourself from this deception, and you'll save those that hear you. What about you?
Let's pray. Father in heaven, and I thank you and praise you for the day. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the things that we have seen in this incredible chapter. To me, it really almost seems the heart of what we're talking about this year, being able to minister to others, being addicted to ministry and ministering to the saints. It can't happen without having a solid foundation, sound doctrine. Because if we don't have sound doctrine, then we don't have sound speech, which how can we minister your word to others if we're, again, not grounded in sound doctrine? Lord, help us to continue. In spite of what the world does, in spite of what Christianity does, and just, again, just all the things that take place and just people just falling away, Lord, help us to continue. Help us to continue to feed ourselves, to grow in our walk and relationship with you, so that we're able to share that with others and hopefully have people that want to hear it. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.